Alrighty, so let's begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, February 9, 2015, and it's about 6:35 in the evening. Would you please take a moment and review the minutes from the January 26th meeting and let me know if they meet with your approval.
They meet with my approval. Thank you.
Drew, you there?
I'm good with it.
Okay. Then the first order of business this evening is, Mike, could you bring up this spreadsheet for us? Professional fee review, new construction. Joe, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it's been a month or so ago, you asked me to go through the bills that have been paid to date that are directly related to the construction cost, and that's what I've tried to capture here. The first spreadsheet here is for Frederick Quinn. I put their base contract amount as $1,285,000. I captured all the payments from January 14 through January of 15 of this year. They total $718,000 for a balance of $566,579. These are all approximates, and they are slightly ahead of the 568 in terms of the cash flow that we were originally presented, and that's generally a result of the advanced schedule for Forest Glen and GM moving that forward.
But at the bottom line is what we're contracted for is on, we're on schedule to pay that much in the contract with no extras.
With no extras as have been currently identified.
Thank you.
Okay. The next spreadsheet, Mike, could you scroll up with that, please? What I tried to do or what I did go through is that I went and tried to, well, I did. I pulled out as many of the other contractors associated with this project. There is about a $340,000 here budgeted, and you can see the different payments that have been made and that have been expended to that particular account, totaling $75,000 with a balance to pay of approximately with a balance outstanding of approximately $264,000. Any questions on that?
Given where we're at in the project, what do we feel about the remaining balance?
I feel strong. I feel good about it. I feel that we won't be utilizing all of those originally budgeted amounts.
Okay.
Especially since we've completed Lincoln, we've completed Franklin. We're, you know, at roof level at Forest Glen, and we're at foundation and plumbing work at Churchill. So I feel pretty good about it. The final analysis that I provided associated with this then is the FGM contract. And that specifically, this construction has to deal with Amendments 24 and 29. Amendment 24 was valued at $170,718. Amendment 29 was for the design, documentation, bidding, and administration for $985,000. So what I've shown you here... Mike, can we scroll up a bit? There you go. I broke out the amounts that are associated with each one of those different functions within that contract. Total $985,000. Amendment 24 fees was $170,000, so the approximated budget for FGM fees is $1,156,000. And then I went through from November 13th, which is when we November of 13. Till today's date, actually through December, we paid $932,000 on that contract with a balance of approximately $223,000 left.
And I'll ask the same question. Within that contract, there have been no extras to date?
No, there have been no extras to date in that contract. Any other questions? Okay, then the second order of business this evening in the Churchill Additions, the cost review. And you have a board report associated with that and some spreadsheets, or a spreadsheet. So just one moment. So thanks to the work of Ron and Jack, I've been able to develop a spreadsheet that shows the cost associated with this additional four-classroom addition that we're proposing at Churchill. I put in low and high numbers and all the additional costs associated with this recommendation. Construction cost run a low of 2.5 to a high of 2.8. I have under soft cost furniture, fixtures, and equipment. We have technology and architectural fees associated with that for a profit that runs from a low of $428,750 to a high of $450,000. And then we always have some other expenses that we may or may not incur. Moving expenses, I did not. We had them in the budget for the original projects, the original classrooms that we're going to do. We haven't utilized anything like that, and I don't intend to on this new recommendation. Permits, I just put in a dollar value of approximately $10,000. Excess utilities, the utilities have already part of the original scope of the work here. Mobile removal and site restoration. This is really mobile removal expenses because that's part of the district expenditures. I spoke with Jack, the work surrounding once we remove those portables and some work in the parking lot, in other words, to bring it back so it's a functioning lot. I budgeted $100,000 for mobile removal. The other numbers are built into the construction cost in the top line of $2.5 to $2.8 million. And then just miscellaneous expenses from $10,000 to $25,000. Total other expenses run from a low of $120,000 to a high of $135,000. Total project costs coming in at $3,048,000 to a high of $3,385,000. I've made a recommendation on how we propose to fund this particular recommendation, and that is that we use the balances that are allowances that are still outstanding from the original projects, which is currently estimated at $1.2 million. Use of $500,000 currently included in the 2016 working budget to capital projects. I have $1 million when I originally brought this to you, gentlemen, a couple weeks ago. I told you that I had $1 million in capital projects scheduled for next year. The proposal is to take $500,000 of that and use it for the Churchill construction. And then $1.5 million out of use of existing fund balances.
I got a question.
Yes, Patrick.
A couple questions here, Bob. So the variables that you used on Churchill Elementary, you guys did, with that $1 million excess
allowances
mm-hmm. or whatever that we did. Did you guys change your variables to kind of say, hey, we were pretty good with the mark, but we were $1 million off on that, so when we do the Churchill variables, let's tighten this screw a little bit over here, tighten this one over here. Did it prejudice your numbers in a way to say, yeah, we can get away with it at 3.3, or... Because we overestimated on the big project.
Does it reflect the bidding that came in?
Okay.
Your mark.
Yeah, so we used the intelligence from the first round of bidding. Remember that in that number we had built in an escalation factor, mm-hmm. which we didn't have to utilize. So that wasn't factored in. There is a contingency in this number because it's conceptual. But the cost per square foot is more accurately representative of what we experienced rather than what we estimated going into it.
Is that because the project is a lot smaller and constrained?
Well, it's just really market intelligence. Okay. There are a lot of variables going into Churchill that, quite frankly, could have swung a variety of different ways. And a lot of it was in the site work.
Yep.
And the site work came in much better than what was estimated by both the engineers and by us. The building was closer, but that still had some problems in it because of the extent of site development work to get the building to grade. So I guess the short answer to your question is I think these numbers, I sat with Fred a couple of different times before publishing these numbers, and I think these numbers are a good representation of what we experienced in the bidding process, so there should be a tighter spread on this.
Okay.
Estimate.
Cool. And Bob, do we have, we probably asked this when we did the first project in getting rid of portables, do we have early contract fee?
Termination?
For these?
No.
Nothing like that?
No, those portables have been sitting for at least 12, 13, 14 years, and all we've been doing is renewing those leases annually, and then I do. I've had ongoing constructions with the IMS, who is the supplier of the portables. They know they're going away.
Okay.
It's just a matter of time.
What's the cost per year to lease those for?
Those four are about $23,000 to $28,000 a year. In total, we pay just under $150,000 currently for all of the portables.
For the 14 remaining, the 10 here and the 4 there?
Of all the portables, okay. Our contract was about $150,000 a year.
But the 4 specific at Churchill?
About $28,000.
$28,000. Thank you.
And you scheduled $1 million for off budget, right?
Working, say that again?
Working capital. Is that
for your projects.
For projects?
Yes, in my working budget, the 15-16 working budget.
And we're cutting half of that.
We're cutting half of that to fund this recommendation.
So if you're cutting half of it, that means half of it, half the projects that you had some foresight to say we want to spend $1 million on some capital project. Mm-hmm. What are the consequences of taking half of that allocation and going into portables?
Well, let me respond this way. You are going to be, next finance meeting, Mike is going to be presenting his technology plan, and Dave will be presenting the operation and maintenance plan, which will have a line item list of the different projects that we're proposing for this year. The biggest ones that we were considering doing really are roofs, and so we're pushing roofs for one more year. That's the recommendation. But we do have a series of smaller recommendations that we're going to be bringing you, and those will be provided to you at the next finance meeting.
Okay.
I'm just, and maybe you're going to tell me this is not an apples to orange correlation. The three classrooms that were built at Hadley.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what the cost of that was?
$1.2
million. And there were three classrooms.
That's correct. That was done about, I'm going to say, 6 years ago now, 5 years ago.
It
was 2010. Was it 2010? So around 5 years ago.
Okay. So, again, I'm just doing back of the envelope math. To me, I'm seeing, $3 million for the four classrooms.
Sure.
And I'm looking at this, and it was $1.2 million.
Much
request.
Much different site. Remember, we were building back here on flat land. It required nothing other than to put a slab down and put up a building. You're talking about building a building here at Churchill now. It's got to be built up 8-10 feet above where it's at. So all that additional work is incorporated in this pricing here. It was a pretty simple project we did back here.
No, it was. But I mean, that's a good question. But we need to be able to answer that question. I think the answer to that question is the amount of site work, groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is if that project was all on a flat plane, it would
be much different.
It would be maybe $1 million less.
I don't know, but yeah. It's a much different building or structure than what we did back here.
Okay. So are we going to get kind of a break? Oh, sorry.
Also, this scope of work includes a connecting corridor. And remodeling inside Lincoln to accept that connecting corridor, which helps create the circulation loop. It also includes the work for site work and parking lot restoration out in front of the building. So, there's the number of classrooms, but then there's what else is going on in addition to the classrooms, because the corridor and the connecting one probably adds
another classroom.
At least one more. It's in square footage, and it's more expensive square footage because it still has to provide accessibility through the corridor for connection or travel to the boiler room inside what will be kind of like a little courtyard at Churchill. And so, you've kind of started off apples and oranges. There's three classrooms and there's four classrooms, but then there's four classrooms and a connecting corridor, interior remodel, parking lot. So it starts to become apples and bananas.
Oh, I got you. And I'm assuming, Bob, you're gonna give us a more detailed budget in terms of construction and contingencies in the gross number.
Yes, we'll eventually get there.
Okay. But that's not prior to the approval of the board.
No.
Just to be clear.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I mean, he'll get that to you, but it's going to be after.
We need to do the design work and everything else before we get to that number.
This is very similar to what the process we filed
with
the previous one.
You know, we work sort of starting at this point and then work backwards to come up with the budgeted numbers that we used for the original 16 classrooms. Any other questions? There you go, Joe.
Yeah.
You're way too quiet. Get the amateurs.
And Paul knows this, and I've talked to him about it, and I'll say it at the board meeting again. I appreciate all the time that Paul and his staff, Bob, Karen, to try to understand these four classrooms. I'm still in the middle of trying to understand them. I'm not there. I'm in the middle. I'm not going to hold up a vote, but I'm going to ask a lot of questions tomorrow. I'm going on a tour with you, Jack, and Jack's been very helpful in trying to see all of Churchill so I can understand the need for the classrooms and make sure there aren't other ways to take care of that need. And that's how I'm viewing it. The dollars are a lot, and now I understand them a little better. I do have one question on the site. When we did this site work, because you constructed around this area, we did put stone here, correct? Or do we have virgin soil here?
There's some, but we have the current plan is, when we're done, the four portables that are on the north side of Churchill would be removed, and then the site would be finish graded, which would bring that whole area where those portables are at to a higher elevation, and we do final grade around the building and so forth. We can't do that work until
the other portables are, because there's portables right here at this area?
Yeah, right
well,
in that area.
Right there.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why your site work, you're building up 8 feet, you're going to build. What kind of soils did we have here? We had to remove a lot here.
There was some soil at the surface that had to be removed. But remember, this is all brought up with stone.
Right.
So there was some soil removal, and we brought this up with stone. So there's certainly going to be stone around this area, but the portables are kind of like right here.
So what you envision is the same of what you've done here.
Mm-hmm.
You're
going to
remove some topsoil here or there and
mm-hmm.
bring in all stone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in your number.
Yes.
And that explains why it's so high for me. Well, other stuff.
Yeah, and that also, just so we're clear on the hard cost versus soft cost, the hard costs also include our services as well.
Okay.
And there's a contingency in there. And back to Drew's point earlier, I think it was Drew, as we get to the next step in the design process, we can then give you a more detailed estimate so you can see where the numbers fall.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I've also met with members of the Churchill community to give me their perspective, which I think is very important. One thing I asked for is a timeline of when, we start today by discussing it. We approve it 2 weeks from now. Ron's got to do his plans. We got to go in for a permit. You have to do your bidding. You have to let everything. I'm not going to state the whole timeline, but that's the process. So everybody needs to be aware that even though we're sitting here today, the best estimate is we're spring of next year having completed buildings. And I don't know if spring to me can mean June 20th, and it could be March 22nd. So it's probably somewhere in the middle or closer to March.
We talked about that earlier, and we wanted to put it out there that it's clear that the earliest that this could be completed for occupancy would be 2016. I think in the best case scenario, you'd be late February-ish. I know that's not really spring.
That's
it's
fine.
Kind of to me. So it's early spring. To us, the latest, contingent upon a reasonable process for permitting and approvals, the latest would be spring break. So
okay.
We think we're kind of in that target.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure that everybody understood. With everything that he's got to do and the village has to do and we have to do, a Christmas or December turnover is really not feasible.
Right.
Unless you put that as a priority and you wanted to pay a premium to deliver it that way.
Okay. Understood. So I'm grappling now. I'm grappling with, do we need these four classrooms? That's not you two.
Right.
I understand. But now I want to know, we're going to finish these four classrooms that we're connecting to, and depending on weather, let's just pick July 30th, maybe a little before that so your team can get in there by.
The current
July 10th.
So it's going to be this summer.
Yes. After June 1st. Somebody's trying to go. And you're not going to have your permit yet for this, will you?
Not unless, you know, we've discussed this with the village already, but everything hinges on that. And the stormwater, I think we're still going to have to submit to DuPage County. We'll have to, the tabular submittal will still have to be made.
How long did that take last time?
Well, you know, the village review, it took, it took them, you know, about 4 months. You know, it was about a 4 to 5 month process, depending on how you...
Okay. I'm trying to understand, if you can begin in July and you're finishing in July...
No, we're not finishing in July. You said that that's...
When are you finishing the current four?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The current four. The current four finish in July.
Yes.
And the best case scenario after stormwater and permit, we start in July.
The earliest.
So let's push it out. Let's say that's August or September 1.
Okay.
So now, in my mind, the four are done.
Yep.
So September 1 and December 1, I don't have much difference, or March 1, because there's no. I have to finish these four, make them so the children can occupy them come the beginning of the school year.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you see where I'm going with this. It's like, if we delay for some reason, because this, in my opinion, I still want to vet this, but I'm okay if the other board wants to do what they want to do. But I'm just walking through Joe's brain. I'm not changing anything if this is delayed, because there's no change to this four that you're doing currently that's happening.
Well, that's not quite.
From a design standpoint, is that what you're saying?
No, from a construction standpoint.
The thing that we're struggling with in these conversations, which lead to whether or not we make a decision,
right,
is this wall will be built either the way it's designed currently or the way it needs to be designed to accept this addition.
Okay.
And plumbing and fire protection and electrical and hot water coil, piping to the hot water reheats, stormwater.
So in the current design of the four that we're building, there is no design to provide for extension of those services.
Well, it's an outside wall. We would redesign that to be an interior wall. That's
how fast would you have to redesign that for an interior wall for you to build it?
Would,
I mean, when are you going to build that wall? March 28th?
Right, probably March.
How are you going to have to redesign done by that? And I mean, you're making an assumption. I mean, I'm going with you here. I'm just walking through this.
We're gonna have to sort that out.
So you need village approval to that? I mean, you're making a change. Is it a field change? I'm getting specific here, but
I
can see where
change.
It could affect your timeline, so I want to understand.
Well, the current outside wall is block and brick veneer.
Right.
So as we build that block wall, what we would need to do, if we know that the building is going to be continued and expansion is going to happen, then we can address that particular issue with the way that block wall needs to be built to continue the expansion, rather than building it as a block that's going to receive the masonry. The foundation is there, and it's certainly wide enough to accept that wall to be able to be built as a structural wall that can go in both directions.
Okay.
You know, we have the underground plumbing in right now. So what we did, independent of all of these conversations, is we told the plumber, hey, don't just put in an end, put in a Y, right? So we can, if we need to, we can core in an end. Mm-hmm. So we've done just a couple of things, no cost to the district, to be able to anticipate those things.
Right.
Would
it be smart
so
if these were approved?
Joe, I'm following this conversation, but I'm trying to see where I'm going.
Well, I see buildings finishing, okay?
Yeah.
And this is a very important part to our approval, because if the building's done, you got to connect to it. And the one building's finishing in July, and the other's not starting until September.
Yeah.
So, to me, if you know it's coming, you're changing the building that you have plans already. And there's going to be modifications.
And that's the wall that people are
talking about. That's the wall, and that's what
you're... The wall, the roof detail,
right.
the doors.
And,
you know, all of those things. But if we know it, then those...
And then you can save cost when you connect.
Yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right.
It's so, I'm there. So, is that the...
It's a
concern
key
that you're...
It's a concern that we need to approve now because he's going to build that wall March 21st.
Okay, that's right.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm trying to break it down. I'm getting into the nitty-gritty of days so they know when they can move forward. My next question would be, you know, if we don't build today and this board doesn't approve it, but 4 years from now approves it, to me, I would want to be on the board that built this wall so that it allowed for it anyway. So what's the cost to do that?
The tear down, rebuild cost.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want it to. You would modify it now, no matter what we decide, so that it could extend, because that's a smart thing to do to this area of the building, no matter what, to make sure you could do it.
It would just be a different response. I mean, you would be burying an exterior wall inside the building. I mean, it would be a less efficient detail, but you could do that. As far as, you know, you wouldn't redesign the wall. You would just build a new one. And continue. And
you think that's cheaper than putting that? Why wouldn't we just put all the utilities and all that, the stub, so that
you're right. Those are two different things.
Right.
The wall design and the utility extensions, I think, the infrastructure.
So at the end of the day, this corridor that you're connecting to, it's going to have, and the wall that you're connecting to are not going to be exterior walls. They're going to be interior walls?
We would be redesigning that wall to be an interior wall between the new corridor and the restrooms.
So it doesn't look like it on the picture.
So for example, it wouldn't have insulation.
Yeah, I understand. No, I'm sorry. Good. Describe it anyways. I'm fine with that. It's just the drawing looks like it's too exterior.
That's
I know, it's conceptual.
Yeah,
but it's all I had to work with. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, this is walking through, this is answering my questions. I appreciate it. It's because, to me, I want to know the ramifications of the timing. And it's key that this approval be done. But at the end of the day, you need to know the number. Yes?
I don't know if we...
I know you don't want to publish it online.
Oh, no, no. Mike, do we have a picture of the new four? Do you have a access...
Yeah, you
okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So basically, the question is, the question is, what's the consequence? What's the construction consequence if this board decides not to approve the four additions?
Right. Right. And that you're going to build two exterior walls, so there's going to be extra cost. But to me, it's not a huge one, but you know.
But it's a decision. It's decision information to help the decision
In
the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, is it $10,000 or is it $100,000? Is it $100,000?
Just to give you context, it's the Lucavon fascia panel, exterior light fixtures. There's a pair of new aluminum doors. It's
right.
The exterior white, the brick. All of that comes out, and the credit is issued on the construction.
Right. And I have tons of questions, but I won't ask them all. But the some are too detailed. The question now, I'm going to move to design. So I got need, construction, timing, now design. And no one's questioned you on your design yet. So why this design as opposed to the other, you guys get your pencil and your CAD and all that going. It could be millions of different things. Why this one? Why the link where it's at? Because the boiler room's there?
No. The link is where it's at because it goes through that resource room.
There's a restroom.
It was the best spot to not disrupt existing classrooms. It was a support room. And that particular location, plus it sort of shortened the circuit, you know, to reconnect to the existing school.
That's where two bathrooms are?
Right.
Two?
We're gonna have to
So we're going to lose two bathrooms?
Lose
them and relocate them and lose space elsewhere. Relocating bathrooms isn't the cheapest thing. So, and we looked at all other options as far as where to put the four classrooms on the site, going north,
going. Everybody wants you to go up, of course. I'm not going to want you to go up. Yeah.
This
we'll
is
save
the
that for later.
Location. This site was studied 8, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, and this area was identified early on in the process of being the most, the best place to locate an additional 4 or 6 or whatever that number may be in terms of classrooms.
And it really doesn't want to come closer to the school. It could a little bit, but because there's an imaginary firewall line. If you looked at the floor construction, there's a firewall between that wing and the existing school that we're trying to stay away from.
The distance of the two classrooms?
Yeah, it's between the existing building and that
Yeah,
wing.
You have to be far enough away. Correct. Otherwise, you have to increase your firewall capacity.
Right.
Okay.
And we couldn't creep any further north because then we'd be into the
berm,
playground, and everywhere else.
Okay. And the corridor is something that we feel that, for circulation purposes, is a wise decision. I mean, I can
absolutely
see why.
Yeah,
I mean, the
absolutely
cost is basically 1+ classrooms. Okay. Yeah. You guys are done? I mean, I'm still...
You keep going.
Question for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the reason... Do you want to talk about the need at the general board meeting so all the board members can participate in it?
Or why? Because this is finance and construction?
No, not finance and facilities, but I don't know
that I'm still studying the need, you know? That's why I'm walking to school tomorrow.
Yeah, but we're discussing tonight, and then there's going to be a vote in 2 weeks,
right?
So
right, I know.
I want to give everybody the opportunity of your... Walking through Jones' brain.
This is kind of my condense it for the board meeting. And I can
that's what I'm saying. I'd like to hear it, but
no,
I definitely want John and Erica.
The neat part is, at the end of the day, I mean, Karen has sat down with me. She's here somewhere.
She's back over here.
And, you know, seeing what we're adding and why we're adding it and the 4-section school and all that. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that I want to walk through the building because when you have an old building, this building's old, there may be better ways to spend these dollars, and this is what I've talked to Bob about and Paul, inside the building, too. You know, maybe we only need 2 classrooms. Maybe we don't need 2 classrooms. Are we utilizing the space best? We're clearly, from what we saw when they were adding full-day kindergarten, when Scott was here and he gave us the first presentation and the longest one because he has the most dire needs, and it comes out when you read all the data. But, it looked like they're using it efficiently. But, you know.
You just want to have your eyes on it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, Joe, we'll walk through also with Karen.
But in the end, the ultimate objective, I think maybe, I don't want to say unilaterally, is you still want to get rid of the
portables. Absolutely,
yeah,
get rid of the portables. The thing is.
Different ways.
Because if we're right sizing these schools by adding these 4 portables, you're asking that right size now to be larger by 80 kids or so. And in my mind, the whole time, I never was doing that when we were right sizing, when we talked about that in the workshop. Now, if you're doing a K-5, it's a different outcome than an early learning center. You know?
Because you're
reboundering. You know, so if you have too many kids here and you're already reboundering, you know, boundaries are changing, then you can see where some other schools, they have a lot more flex space at the end of the day. You know, and I know kids don't move in grades, right, Paul?
No.
They don't move in grades, so it's hard to do. But, you know, to me it needs to be examined because this is $3.8 million.
Yeah.
So. And do I think they need 4 new classrooms? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't. Do they need 2? Maybe.
Yeah. So the question, what I'm hearing you say, and putting words in your mouth, but correct me then, is we still want to get rid of the portables. Adding 4 classrooms is a consideration. Maybe we can do it another way internally, but the dollar amount, just speaking, is plausible. For you.
Yes.
So how we...
I'm still working on the design.
Right. But how we spend the
$3 million is now a construction a building and construction conversation to make the board more comfortable. Is it truly four, or is it internal space required?
Right. All right. Well, the problem is we have, here's where the timing comes in. We have these two options. We're looking at three, but after listening to her, it seems we're looking at two, or maybe somebody's got a new one still out there. You know, and when you start doing that and you're moving kids around, to me, and I know Karen's educated me a lot on this, and even if you move kids around, this is still a four-section school, and if it's still a four-section school, you still need the same number of classrooms. It's the other ancillary space that I then question, because those are the ones we're enhancing here with the math lab, and some of it they have, but a STEAM lab, a work area for the teachers, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's where redesign can come in, hopefully, and do it at a better price for our district. So that's kind of where I'm at. But it looks different to me when you, depending on what option we choose. But by doing these four, we're saying that this is a school for right-sizing that's much bigger than we originally contemplated. Because I don't think we sat here, I know we didn't sit here, because otherwise we would have approved eight here, saying that the right size of the school was all these, were the additional four classrooms.
So increasing the footprint changes the right-sizing for
right.
You.
And just 9 months ago, we were... Well, I wasn't comfortable with that. We didn't come up with that conclusion. And I will say, some of it's dual language. Right, Karen? I mean, there's a dual language requirement that I wasn't aware of. That you basically are building a four-section school when you went to dual language, no matter what.
The bilingual education is required in dual language.
Thanks. She speaks better. But but there's a bigger requirement for classrooms because of the program that we approved when we first got on the board.
But just be clear that that's state and federally mandated because we have so many students who are speaking Spanish.
I just want to make sure that
others are understanding that.
Right.
That's not a program that you can pick and choose. I don't want to do... dual language or bilingual, I should say, bilingual. Dual is how we're addressing the bilingual.
It's tough for us where I'm at because it seems like the right thing to do is add the four. There's certainly the community of Churchill needs those four today. And this is what I say. Are we making a decision for the next 25 months or the next 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the next 25 months, we're building these no matter what. Now, the next 25 years, it certainly looks like it's a good probability we should build these. I'm not disagreeing with that as I educate myself. But to me, that we're getting put into, we have savings here, timing, sequencing, and all that, that's kind of pushing us to do this, you know? But I would feel a lot better if the unknown was a known, which is, where are we going in 25 years with, you know, we're Spalding, how are we right-sizing these schools to do this, you know? I mean, quite frankly, right, the second one has six classrooms. The first option has six classrooms on here.
That's no new school.
No new school.
Oh, right, sorry. I was like...
It doesn't seem like that's
the modification.
Yeah,
like,
your ABC.
Yeah,
the modification
one does not
I
seem like...
I just call
like,
them
yes.
ABC.
Yeah, thank
so.
You. Just a little lost there for a second.
Yeah,
last year I'd lost.
I'm sorry. The modification
does not...
has six classrooms.
Yeah.
So, by doing this, we're eliminating that, which I'm fine with.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it came out in the listening tours that everybody was pretty fine with that. So
then to your timing then, since this possibly couldn't be completed and occupied till spring of 16.
Somewhere between February and spring break.
Yeah, it's called spring break.
Spring break's probably safe.
1Q, 2Q.
Mm-hmm.
1Q. You're saying pause. Because we kind of have an additional...
I was saying pause.
7 months, because the next school year in August is 7 months away.
Right.
6 months away from that.
And, you know, I don't think we should be moving kids during spring break. I think the half the semester...
Yeah,
I know you you thought maybe that's a good idea, or but you know you missed by a month and you're not doing it anyways.
Yeah.
And weather can.
Right.
Although by then we're enclosed and we're probably okay, right? So that's not, weather won't be an issue, but we could find some bad soils that, you know.
Yeah, but
you did. So they're going to deliver spring break.
They're going to deliver February.
Yeah.
But and I would move kids in because you've been in those portables.
I know.
And
you've heard how could you
say,
not?
What's
we're not done.
We're adjusting here a little bit, but the point is if we can get them in there by spring break, then it kind of puts a decision pressure on us to say, are we going to do this or not? But if it's,
well,
hey, listen, we really don't want to move them mid-quarter, let's make the moves Aug 1 or, you know, 2016, then it goes to your point, then let's pause and let's make sure that at removing the portables is always the final option, but is it adding four or reconfiguring the interim?
Well, here's the issue you have, though, and this is what we've vetted, right? I mean, the construction of the current four and the cost savings and the ultimate redesign of that what would be a west wall for a while and then gets four more, the corridor and four more classrooms. Because that you want to do, you want the decision to be made so you can redesign that by April 1st or whatever the date is so that you can construct that wall in the most efficient manner and the one that saves us the money.
Yeah.
That's what I learned tonight. Mm-hmm. That's one thing on the construction front. Because I was struggling with it because I'm looking at, mm-hmm. you know, this is done, this isn't done, you know, and when I looked at the picture, I just assumed I didn't know you were redoing that wall for an interior wall. So, but I can certainly see why you would do it because the cost savings would be there.
And from an administration standpoint, as we've walked through and we've looked at every classroom and every scenario, the K-5 and the Early Learning Center both fulfill our what we see from an academic standpoint, from how we use that facility. Those four classrooms would be utilized in either one of those scenarios. Joe is absolutely right on the modification one. If that's where the board is leaning towards, we should wait because it's another two or three more classrooms on there. But that's not the sense I've gotten from the board or community that has generated any interest at all. But it does fit in with both the Early Learning Center and the K-5. And I think what Joe's doing tomorrow is a nice piece for him because he's going to walk through and put his eyes with Karen, with Jack, and be able to see. And it was really purposeful to do it during the day. It would be really easy at 5 o'clock at night to see it. But but tomorrow he's going to be able to see it with students in. Karen and Scott can join them as well. Be able to kind of walk through and see the space. Because sometimes it's easy to say, well, the teachers who are in this one room who are sharing the space is four or five teachers. Well, they could go somewhere else. But where do they go? Do they go sit up in the library? And that's kind of what Joe's going to be able to see with Karen and Jack is where do those people go? You can't just tell them to go. They've got to go somewhere and do their work with kids or, you know, they've got to go somewhere. So that's what they're going to be doing
right,
tomorrow.
And one thing that I've been educated on here is that the way they're utilizing this building is there's a lot of multiple use of the same areas. There's a lot of flex and other specialty, and I'll goof every name up here. They're on top of each other. So, and you can see it in the existing layout. Mm-hmm. And so that boggles my mind that it was that bad. So I think what I've been educating myself on, guys, is that it was worse than I thought, kind of thing. I didn't know it was that bad inside the building. Like, maybe they should have added two more portables here, but you probably didn't know where to put them. So, but it was probably the eight portables were probably too few at the time. So, and there was clearly a need for parity across the district for all the schools, and Churchill has lacked that for a long time. You know, everybody else has had their issues. So, I came to the board meeting and this meeting to say that I've been trying to expedite my understanding of it because, as I told Paul, my gut didn't feel good
mm-hmm.
when I saw we had to do it because it just to me it was 9 months ago, we didn't, the right size word for me meant not four more here. It meant sending 120 kids somewhere else. And it's what we're finding is that wasn't an option. And what we're finding is they were overusing, they're utilizing this to 110%. Right. And Scott's being he's being really creative with his space. But I want to see it in action before that's what the numbers show, that's what the design show and all that. So I'm not saying I'll see it and I'll like it. I'm not saying I won't have 20 ideas in my head that I think could be cost savings ones. But to me, I would, if the meet, if tonight was the vote, I would probably abstain. I wouldn't vote no, but I couldn't vote yes, because I wouldn't be done vetting it. But I also see now that we have to. It's a now decision, because there's cost savings to be had. So, anyways, thanks for hearing me out.
That was a really good conversation.
Yeah.
Anything else just for this? Because we can pick this back up and full board.
Okay.
You good?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's it for this evening's meeting.
Thanks, Tom.